back in November, in fact, it was November, I'm sorry, back in October, today's November 1st, back in October the 11th, I started a series, and it was entitled Healing, Your Gift from God. So tonight's going to be part two of Healing, Your Gift from God. Now, we don't deserve healing, we can't earn it, yet God gives it to us freely. So it was the Father's intent for Jesus to take put on Jesus all sickness and disease at the cross so that we could exchange it for healing and wholeness. And so that was what happened. That was the intent at Calvary. And that's what we're going to be exploring as we go through the series. I'm going to do a quick review and then move on to some new additional material. So in part one, I had shared that Jesus provided for us to be whole in spirit, soul, and body. We looked at the scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. There would be nothing missing, nothing broken, and nothing lacking. And that's exactly what we in the body of Christ have available to us. So in this series, we're going to be focusing on the power of God's word to heal and transform lives. Let's turn to Romans 10:17 in the Passion Translation, Romans 10:17. We looked at that. I'm just going to read it from the Passion. And as I mentioned last message, we're not going to be teaching on faith, but faith will definitely be intertwined into the message that we will be sharing as we go forward. And in the Passion, Romans 10:17 says, faith then is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the Anointed One. When we look at this and we say, okay, you know, we were saved by grace through faith. And it will be the same thing with healing. So last message, I did a little show and tell demonstration. It was with the umbrella, if you recall. We discussed salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. All right. And we looked at that. And the overall covering of the umbrella was to represent salvation. And the little spokes in the umbrella represent all that comes to us through salvation. And healing was just one of the spokes. We looked at that and said, wow, we have so many things available to us in salvation. We have not only healing, but prosperity and protection, righteousness, redemption, deliverance. All of those little spokes in the overall umbrella are taken care of in salvation. Amen. So when we looked at all that, we talked about how, you know, it's a gift. Because salvation was a gift, we didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it, and included in that gift is healing. I also gave out a declaration statement in that message, which I will cover again tonight, and I will speak that and cover it again in every teaching going forward. So if you'd like to write this down, I encourage you to write it down and speak it daily. And as you speak it, it will be encouraging to your heart. I'm sure many of you already have your own confession sheet and you can add it to it. Or if not, you can start a new one and include this. And this is the declaration statement. I operate from a position of victory because I have already won. I operate from a position of victory because I have already won. I always approach the enemy from a position of power because the power of God is in me. I always approach the enemy from a position of power because the power of God is in me. And then I have three anchor scriptures that are all from the Passion Translation. We have 1 Peter 2:24, Romans 16:20, and Romans 8:10-11. And I'm going to go through each one of them. Because if you don't have a Passion Translation, you can look it up online. But the first scripture, 1 Peter 2:24 from the Passion. It says, he himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. Then there's Romans 16:20, again from the Passion. And the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet, and the wonderful favor of our Lord Jesus will surround you. I love that scripture. Let me say that one again. And the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet. And the wonderful favor of our Lord Jesus will surround you. We have to get the mental picture that the enemy is defeated. We have to understand that Jesus already did it. He's been pounded to a pulp under our feet. The third scripture, Romans 8, 10, and 11, from the Passion again. It says, now Christ lives his life in you. And remember when we were talking about our identity and talking about the being in Christ and all of those aspects of that wonderful part of our salvation, how Christ lives his life in you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. Amen. So these three scriptures are anchor scriptures. You can quote them, confess them, get to know them. But remember, the devil's defeated and we have the victory in our healing area. Okay. In that first message, we also looked at Matthew 18, 18, 20, where we allow on earth. What we allow on earth is health and healing, and we bind sickness and disease because it is already bound in heaven. There was no sickness in the body of Jesus Christ, and because we identify with Jesus, we can turn around and also say, I no longer identify with sickness. I forbid sickness in my body. And we should be saying that. We forbid it. Tell the devil to shut up and get out. Shut up and get out. Get used to saying that. Just tell him to shut up and get out. He needs to understand that you're serious. He needs to understand you're serious and you mean what you say. We looked at Isaiah 53, verse 5, and 1 Peter 2, 24, which was establishing that our healing was brought about by the physical wounds inflicted upon the body of Jesus. We want to establish that. Our healing came from the stripes that were inflicted upon him. So, we must be taught about healing so that we can know what to do, what to say, and what to believe when we are under attack. Satan is behind the evil of sickness and disease. He uses deception to get mankind to turn around and blame God for sickness and disease. He wants us to think that we don't deserve our healing, and he also wants to keep us ignorant of the truth. If he can keep you from finding out the truth, he wins. So because we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, we have a new DNA. Our family ancestry line does not apply to us. What happened with your family, whether somebody died young, what kind of disease they died from, does not apply to us because we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. So we believe, therefore we speak, and we speak out our desired outcomes. Now, what I'd like to cover tonight is to look at God's wonderful creation. Where you stand in terms of your thinking about healing has a lot to do with the victory you will or will not obtain. What you think is important, okay? So we're going to be looking at God's creation and at the human body. God's original intent for mankind, as we know, was perfection and fellowship with him. Adam and Eve fellowshiped with the Lord in the garden. But when sin came into the picture, it changed everything. The plan that God had, as we know it, was completely turned around because sin came into the picture and sickness and disease came with it. So as I set this foundation tonight, you will know without a shadow of a doubt that it is God's will to heal when I finish. We're going to look at some things, and it's how you look at these things that's going to be a benefit to you or not. So let's turn first to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 25, 26, 27, and 31, all from the New King James Version. Let's start with Genesis 1:25. Point out a couple things. Genesis 1:25, New King James. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. We are created in the image of God. Remember that. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. There's been a lot of confusion going around in the world today about male, female, multiple genders, transgender, non-binary, binary. God, let me read this again. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. All right, very clear. Then God saw everything that he had made. I'm down to verse 31. Then God saw that everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. So in the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Now notice that God said everything he made was good, but once he had made man, and once he had created his creation, now it was very good. We got the very good part. Amen? Now listen to verse 31 in the New Living Translation. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was excellent in every way. Excellent in every way. That includes his creation, male and female. Excellent in every way. Our human bodies are awesome. They're incredible. They're miraculous, magnificent, supernaturally made with an eternity. We have an eternity that's wired into us when we're made. We are not just here to exist in the natural earthly realm. We leave this earthly realm at some point and move into either heaven or hell. As born-again Christians, it's heaven. These next scriptures that I'm going to go over are for anyone who ever felt that they were not wanted by their parents, that they were not good enough, or as some may say, maybe you were told you were a mistake. Listen closely, because as I go through these scriptures, we're going to cover some details. Yes, we are still talking about healing, okay? But we need to lay this foundation so that you can easily understand why healing is a gift from God. Amen? How you think about yourself is critical to your healing. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, and again from the New King James, and also I'm going to read it from The Voice, the New King James. This is God talking to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Okay, so think about this for a minute. For God to know us before we were formed, we had to exist in the spirit realm. We had to be somewhere. We weren't in the natural realm. After all, God is a spirit, and we have a spirit. Our natural existence started at conception. Our natural existence started at conception. Listen to it in The Voice. Before I even formed you in your mother's womb, I knew all about you. Before you drew your first breath, I had already chosen you to be my prophet to speak my word to the nations. This is what God's telling Jeremiah, okay? So God knew us before conception. That's basically how you can say it. Now let's go to Psalm 139, and we're going to read verses 13 to 16. I'm going to start in the New King James. and then the passion. Psalm 139, starting at verse 13. Now, when we're looking at these scriptures and you're thinking about this, we're going to now look at the finished product of God's creation. All right? So, for you formed my inward parts. This is in Psalm 139. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, lock into those two words, fearfully and wonderfully. We're going to come back to that. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. In your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. They were all written. Everything that God had planned for you was written in the book. Listen to it in the Passion. You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it, how thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully, shaping me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Now stay there, hold that, look at that, okay? You saw who you created me to be before I became me. So God sees things in the spirit realm. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Now, I believe that these scriptures, these verses support why abortion is wrong. We are not a blob of tissue, but God's creation, taken from the spirit realm and through conception, given a body to develop inside of our mother's womb. Amen. So many times people don't want to go there, but I heard recently, I think the statistic was that 96% of scientists believe that life begins at conception. So little side note here, that word fearfully, I said, we're going to come back to that. Fearfully is only used that one time in the Bible. No other reference for that word is made to anything but God's creation. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. It means, that word means to revere, be had in reverence, awe, or reverence. Okay? So there's a reverential fear of God's creation. So that's why the enemy doesn't like us, because we're made in the image of God. Now, in Strong's Concordance, the word wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully made, means to distinguish, put a difference, show marvelous, separate, set apart, sever, make wonderfully. Now, in the dictionary, that word wonderfully means exciting wonder, marvelous, extraordinary, remarkable, miraculous, astonishing, amazing, and astounding. Think about those words for a minute. That's who you are. That's what the Word of God says about you. You're special. You're unique. You're marvelous, extraordinary, remarkable. We are walking miracles, folks. That's who we are, walking miracles created by the Creator of the universe. Now, let's look at God's creation in the physical realm. Okay, we're going to have a little biology class here for a minute. And I hope that this helps you see how special and miraculous you really are. The human body develops from one single cell, the fertilized ovum. This body started as one single cell, the fertilized ovum. Now, repeated division of the ovum results in many types of cells differing from one another in composition and function. Then the cells, as they're dividing, okay, they form tissues, which in turn develops into an organ. So you have the one cell, it's expanding, okay, turns into tissue, and then it goes into an organ. These organs develop into a group called a system, like a respiratory system. We also have a circulatory system. We have a skeletal system, a nervous system, urinary, muscular, digestive system, endocrine, and reproductive system. And in the world of medicine, many times there's doctors who specialize in that one particular system. Okay? So although the body is studied in terms of organs and systems, it can only exist as a whole. It can only exist as a whole. Even the simplest task, in other words, okay, when you say you have the heart, okay, we have to have that heart in the system, because if you took it out, it won't be able to exist. Follow what I'm saying? Okay. The organs have to function as a whole. So even the simplest task requires the participation of all the systems that I just named. Our human body is composed, listen to this, our human body is composed of about 100 trillion cells. One body, 100 trillion cells. So if you want to look at the comparison of the body of Christ and the physical body that the Apostle Paul talks about, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 12. We're not going to go there tonight, but if you'd like to, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 26. And he's talking about our body and the body of Christ. Without unity in our physical body, we're handicapped, just like the need for unity in the body of Christ. We need that unity in our body. Now, each body is uniquely different from any other, as we all have different fingerprints to prove it. Just think about this. It's amazing. There's not one set of fingerprints alike, even when you have twins or triplets. We truly are marvelously integrated structurally and functionally. Think about this. There's billions of people in the world that from the time of creation, okay, till today, and none of us have the same fingerprint. Amazing, isn't it? Wow, okay. So as I cover this information and you realize how you are made, realize that God would not want sickness and disease to destroy this miraculous creation of his. Why? It makes no sense. Because there's some people that think God does this. Uh-uh. He doesn't put sickness and disease on you. So besides being made perfect, God also made our bodies to fight our sickness and disease. And this is incorporated into our very being, our physical makeup at creation. All right? So I'm going to talk about a couple things, because our bodies were designed to heal themselves. Our bodies were designed to heal themselves, okay? So, a couple examples. First of all, if you touch a hot stove, what's the first thing you do? How's my crowd out there? You pull your finger back, right? Okay? You touch a hot stove, and instinctively, your body knows, don't fry the fingers, you know, don't leave it there. Remove it, right? Your skin is sensitive to pain. It knows, your body knows, move it away. The skin covers over 3,000 square inches of surface area. It's elastic, rugged, and self-regenerating. It is waterproof and functions in the temperature-regulating functions of the body. Amazing, okay? The skeletal system is the main supportive structure of the body. We have 206 bones that assist with body movement and protection for the other organs, okay? So, you know, we have a rib cage, and the rib cage protects your heart and your lungs, other parts of the body, okay? So it's designed so magnificently, If you fracture a bone, immediately the body sets in motion a process by which a blood clot forms at the area, leading to new vessels, eventually new bone formation, mending the break. 6 weeks after you fracture it, the bone healed and is stronger than it was before the break. Our body is designed to do that. Look at the circulatory system. It nourishes every part of your body. The heart pumps blood throughout our body. Our bodies now know how to send the blood to the lungs for oxygenation. We pump it to all the organs for use and then send it back to the lungs again. And this goes on all the time in our body, constant. Get the oxygen, go out to the organs, come back, get the oxygen, come back. And it goes around and does that continuously. 2 to 10 million red blood cells are destroyed each second. 2 to 10 million red blood cells are destroyed each second. Yet, due to replacement, the number circulating remains constant. Amazing. In fact, if you suffer a heart attack, the body rebuilds a collateral circulatory system to compensate in the area where the infarction occurred. Amazing, okay? So I could go on endlessly with the information about our bodies, but these few examples prove again and again that healing was part of God's original plan for his creation. If the thought ever enters your mind that God may not want to heal you, do an instant replay of this message and remind yourself and the devil of how miraculously God made you. It's amazing. Our bodies are amazing. They're miraculous, wonderful. Now, the practice of medicine, and that's what it is, in the practice, emphasis on practice of medicine is just that. Doctors assist you and create the perfect environment to help your body heal itself. When it is something that they have never done before, they practice on us until the correct formula is found. Improvements can be made to make the formula better to benefit the patient. Okay? So medicine is a practice, and we attempt to do better things. Medicine has improved immensely over the years. Surgeries have been streamlined to allow for what we call today same-day surgery, which would have required days of being in the hospital in the past. Days. I remember, I guess I'll be certainly aging myself, but I remember that when somebody went in the hospital for cataract surgery, you laid in bed with sandbags in bed for days and you couldn't move your head. Today, you go in, have the cataract surgery, go home the same day. Amazing. So because God created us, he's the only one who knows how we function and what we need. He doesn't need to run any tests. He doesn't need to take dozens of x-rays. He doesn't need to pull 20 test tubes of blood from your veins to figure out what's going on. He already knows. And he knows what you need to do to see the manifestation of the healing. It's critical for us to hear from the Holy Spirit God's prescription plan for us. Because you can have three people with the same diagnosis and God will tell each one something different because he knows that individual and he knows what's going to work for them. So, yes, we work with medicine, but there are many diseases and conditions that the medical world has no idea how to treat. Only God has the answer. So many times we hear that the doctor gave someone a few months to live, and with God's intervention, they are still alive years later. Just look at Brother Hagin. Look at the man's life. He was given up to die for. They said, okay, brother, accept it. There's nothing that can be done. The medical world could not help him. And look at the legacy of one man because he found Mark 11 and decided to believe God instead of the doctors. God, if this is real, if this is really true, all right? Just look at Pastor Clinton. He had supernatural intervention when his dissecting aortic aneurysm stopped bleeding. We have story after story of people praying and God intervening to change the doctor's predictions. So I just want to encourage anybody out there who's been told by a doctor that your situation is terminal or that there's nothing that can be done. That's why we need to give people hope and not accept the negative reports given by the medical profession. They don't have all the answers or the final say in any situation. They don't have all the answers. They don't have the final say. Only God does. So before closing tonight, I want to start looking at a couple Old Testament healing scriptures. Because the Jews under the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, they had healing available to them as well, but they had to obey the law. God established the blessings and the curses in Deuteronomy 28, and these conditions had to be met. So let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we'll look at verses 19 and 20 in the New King James. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Now, if you look at in Deuteronomy, you'll see that there's God lists the blessings and then the curses. Okay, so there were conditions with everything that went down. And in verse 19 of Deuteronomy 30 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life that both you and your descendants may live. God's telling them, he's giving them the answer. Choose life. He wants them to live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life. He is your life, not death, and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So think for a minute. A God who wants his people healed tells them to choose life. If he didn't care or didn't want them healed, he said would have said choose death or pick what you want. But he tells them where to go, the direction. Choose life, okay? If he didn't care about creation, he would have ignored them. Do what you want to do. These Old Testament scriptures held true for the Israelites, but we are under a new and a better covenant. Let's turn to Galatians 3, 13, 14. Galatians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 13, 14 in the New King James and then the Passion. Okay? And it says, chapter 3, verse 13, God has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. God has redeemed us from the curse, having become a curse for us. Now notice it says already done. God has, past tense, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now listen to this in the Passion. Yet Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. He absorbed it completely as he became a curse in our place. He became a curse in our place. For it is written, everyone who is hung upon a tree is doubly cursed. Jesus, our Messiah, was cursed in our place and in so doing dissolved the curse from our lives. He dissolved the curse from our lives so that all the blessings of Abraham can be poured out upon even non-Jewish believers. And now God gives us the promise of the wonderful Holy Spirit who lives within us when we believe in him. Amen. So we've been redeemed from the curse. Let's look at Psalm 91, verse 16. This is, of course, the Psalm of Protection. And verse 16, New King James, I'm going to also read it in the Passion. It says, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Long life. God's promising us long life. So if somebody's taken out, if, I'm sure you've heard this, they say, oh, well, God needed them, or this was their time to leave at 30 years old. No, it wasn't. Long life is not 30 years old. This is the promise of God. With long life, I will satisfy him. Listen to it in the Passion. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you, for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. You'll be satisfied with a full life. I'm sure you've heard people say, well, if you aren't satisfied, stay longer. All right. And for many years, myself included, I used to think, you know, when you heard about 70, that you were promised like 70 years. So if you made it past 70, it was a bonus. No, the 70 was for the Israelites when they had been disobedient and God had taken a limit, made a limit there. That was for them in the wilderness. We don't get cut off at 70. We can be living to 120 if we'd like. Okay. So let's turn to Psalm 103, verses 1 to 3 in the New King James and then the Passion, Psalm 103. We're just covering a couple of these scriptures in the Old Testament. Familiar scriptures, many times people quote this one all the time. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Not some, but all your diseases. Awesome. He heals all your diseases under the old covenant, Old Testament. Listen to it in the Passion. With my whole heart, with my whole life, and with my inmost being, I bow in wonder and love before you, the Holy God. Yahweh, you are my soul's celebration. How could I ever forget the miracles of your kindness you've done for me? You kissed my heart with forgiveness in spite of all I've done. You've healed me inside and out from every disease. You've healed me inside and out from every disease. Let's look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 20 in the New King James. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word, Jesus, the Messiah, and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. In the Passion, it said, God spoke the words, be healed. And we were healed, delivered from death's door. God spoke the words, be healed. And we were healed, delivered from death's door. Let's look now at Exodus 15:26. This is sometimes a scripture that a lot of people raise questions about, but we're going to look at it a little bit in depth. I'm reading it from the New King James, Exodus 15:25. Now, one of the things to keep in mind in this particular scripture is that there are several conditions. And that's, again, with the curses and the blessings, it's conditional. And it says, if, well, right away, if is the condition. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do, so you diligently heeding the voice of God, do, all right, what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. So again, we're, all this is conditional. Keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I will put none of these diseases on you. So a lot of people thought that those scriptures are basically saying that God was the author of sickness and disease. Now, I'll get back to that in a minute. It says, for I am the Lord who heals you. In other words, I am Jehovah, your Rophe. I am Jehovah. See, in the Old Testament, we knew him as Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. That there means, I am Jehovah, your Rophe. That is your doctor, your physician, and your healer. That word Rophe there is the participle form of Rapha, the God that heals. Now, in this scripture, as I said, there's always been the question, will God put this on the Egyptians so he's the author and finisher of the faith part. I mean, author and finisher of the diseases. It's by him. It's caused by him that came. It doesn't mean that they originated from him. And so let's look at that. First of all, God doesn't have any sickness in heaven to put on anyone. Jesus wasn't down here on earth with sickness and disease, and there's none in heaven. Now, second, to understand this scripture, these passages of scripture, it lies in knowing that the active verbs in the Hebrew have been translated in a what they call causative sense when they should have been translated in the permissive sense. Causative versus permissive sense. In the literal Hebrew reads this way, I will permit to be put upon thee none of these diseases which I permitted to be brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Let me say that again. The literal Hebrew reads, I will permit to be put upon thee none of these diseases which I permitted to be brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. God didn't commission sickness and disease, but he allowed it or permitted it. God doesn't commission us to steal from someone, but he won't override your free will if you choose to steal. Same thing. Amen? So healing was always and continues to be the will of God, no matter how you slice it. It's always been his will to heal, Old Testament and New Testament. So I hope that by looking at your God-created physical body and seeing how God looks at you, that you come away from this message tonight realizing how special and wonderful you are and how God wants you healed and whole. That's his desire for you, is to be healed and whole. Amen. And that the enemy is the one who's the cause of any sickness and disease you may be experiencing. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful to be under a new and better covenant. Thank you, Lord, where Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. He took our sickness, our disease, and provided health and healing, and then gave us the Holy Spirit who will guide us and lead us into all truth. He'll teach us and show us how to operate in your will for our healing. We always come out victorious, Lord, as we stay in your word and we obey. We thank you for having created us as miraculous instruments that operate here in the earth, fulfilling your plans and purposes. Remind your creation of how special, loved, and valuable they are to you. Amen. So maybe you're tuning in and watching tonight for the very first time, and you don't know about this Jesus, and you've never asked him into your heart. I'm going to pray a simple prayer, and I just ask that you repeat after me, because you can experience the gift of healing. You can have that available to you as well as eternal life. So just say, Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he was crucified, died, buried, but rose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior, be my Lord, and take over my life. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins, and thank you that I now have eternal life with you. Amen. If you pray that simple prayer for the first time, please get in touch with us and let us know so that we can send you some free material. As you see on the screen, you can contact us by email or by coming to the church. We have an address, or writing to us, or by phone. So we would love to hear from you to get some information in your hands to get you started in the right direction.